And the Euphrates dry up. All kinds of things taking place. And when the chapter 16, the seven bowl is poured forth, the earth is virtually destroyed. Now, who is talking about surviving the 7 years? When you see the full picture, I mean, you just read the seven bowls, you don't want to be there. In case you believe in a post-tribulation theology, just remember, right, to go to the wilderness when the abomination comes. That's the only place, right? But this is the destruction that takes place. Now, in chapter 17, suddenly there's a dialogue. And he explains what Babylon represents. You see, the beast that came out and the two beasts, they represent the kingdom of the Antichrist. The beast always represents an entire nation. It's found in the book of Daniel. And the angel explained in verse 7, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life." Verse 9, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the earth, eight is of the seven and is going to perdition." Now, some Christians interpret this to be the Roman Empire. But wait a minute. If it's a Roman Empire, the Antichrist has come, gone and died. So, we realize here that if we take it to be the Roman Empire alone, then we realize that and the seven kings are seven Roman Caesars and seven Roman kings, then we realize it's what I call a very small, tiny interpretation. But we have to look, this is an international situation taking place. The seven kings represent all those kingdoms that have conquered the Israelites. The first is the area that had ruled Israel. The first is the nation of Egypt. They were under bondage there. The second, all through the time of the book of Judges and Kings, was the Assyrian Empire. Second major. And the Assyrian rock start cutting corners from part of Israel, started overcoming Israel, and they in the book of Kings you find they always live in fear of Syria, the Assyrian Empire. Then the third empire that ruled over Israel was, after the Assyrian Empire, was the Babylonian Empire. After the Babylonian Empire, the fourth empire that came was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then after the Medo-Persian Empire, you have the Greek Empire, which is the fifth, Alexander the Great. Then after the Greek Empire, you have the sixth, the Roman Empire. After the Roman Empire, you have the Antichrist Empire, which is the seventh. But he is 7 and 8. You notice 7 and 8 are the same. Why is 7 and 8 the same? Look here. 7 because he has his kingdom. 8 because he has his kingdom with the 10 horns. Okay, let me show that. Notice here, the description of the Antichrist in his political power in chapter 13, in verse 2. He is a mixture of all the entire empires. The beast I saw was like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion, and the dragon gave him great authority. You look back in the book of Daniel, and you find the description of some of the empire. Those descriptions of a leopard and a bear, all these are part of the formation of the beast empire.
Testing. Praise God. I hope they still can record through this. Right? Quickly change over if you can. And so we have the Holy Ghost battery hasn't worn out yet, right? Okay. So we have here the empire of the Antichrist, and it's saying that Babylon, what Babylon represents here is not just the Babylonian Empire. Babylon represents the total world system that came to a head when Nebuchadnezzar was king. Remember the statue he saw, the golden head, the silver, and the bronze, and then the iron and the clay. And all that represents the kingdom of the world. And remember where the big stone came and hit the statue in Daniel chapter 2. It came to hit at the feet. And that stone represents the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will come and contact at the point of the feet. That's where the Antichrist is. The mixture of iron and clay near the 10 toes. That is also a prediction of when the Christ Jesus shall come in the time of the world empire. So the statue is, how many statues was there? One. All the empire of the world is called one statue. But we know in history there are all different kingdoms by different kings. The Babylonian has his succession kingdom. The Medo-Persian has his succession. The Roman Empire and the Greek Empire divided into four parts. They have all the four generals. But all are part of how many statues? One. And that, my friends, is the Babylon. Because the head is Babylon. And the entire being, although it's in a female sense here, is represented as Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, take note of this point here. In chapter 17, verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. But they receive authority for how long? 1 hour. Now, in chapter 18, is a moaning of Babylon falling apart. But the key word is found in chapter 18, verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in how long? 1 day. Verse 10. Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in how long? 1 hour. Verse 17. For in 1 hour, such a place will be destroyed. In verse 19. Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea become rich by her wealth. For in how long? 1 hour. That is your key to interpretation in chapter 18 and 17. Because it's trying to tell us that the 1 hour that Babylon is destroyed in chapter 18 is equal to the 1 hour mentioned in Revelation 17 when the 10 kings stand up. That means, brethren, when the 10 horns rise up, there will be great destruction all over the world. Because all the things that have been built up will be destroyed. When the 10 kingdoms rise, as predicted by Daniel, which the Antichrist will also rise up with, there will be great destruction, because the earth is not going to yield to the Antichrist just like that. That is why the first seal, he is given authority to conquer for a period of time. And notice when the Antichrist came out in the book of Daniel. Right, very quickly go to the book of Daniel. Got to really rush. Praise the Lord. Good thing we got only 4 chapters left. Daniel, praise the Lord. Anyway, this is our last shot, so give it the best shot we can. And in the book of Daniel, in verse 24, the 10 horns, chapter 7, verse 24, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue, how many kingdoms? 3 kings. Did you notice that when the Roman Empire comes forth, it assumed the grandeur of the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Greek Empire. Notice that? And when you have 10 minus 3, you have 7. Plus the one who conquered the 3, 8. So you have the beast who is 7 and 8. Do you understand? That's what Revelation is trying to tell us. That it's talking about world empires. That during the time that John was, he was under the Roman Empire. And he mentions this in the book of Revelations, chapter 17. He says, verse 10, five have fallen, one is. And if you count from Egypt and Assyria as 1 and 2, and then put Babylon as number 3, you'll find that at number 6, it is the Roman Empire. That is why in John's time, he is in the Roman Empire. And another empire has not come. The revised Roman Empire under the Antichrist will be 7. And then number 8 will be the revised Roman Empire together with the 10 horns. 7 and 8 together. Right, so the mathematics go together there. Praise the Lord. Then we have in chapter 19, the coming of Jesus to judge the earth in verse 11. Finally, Jesus comes to the scene. Now, there's one more truth that we need to bring forth here. When Jesus comes to the scene in chapter 19, in verse 11, riding on a horse, his eyes were like flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. The book of Thessalonians say he will slay the Antichrist with the sword of his mouth, like a laser beam, by his word, by his power. But notice that when Jesus comes down, according to the book of Revelations, chapter 11, Revelations, right? Chapter, let's look. Revelations, there we have it in chapter 16, verse 16. And they gather them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. Now, in Revelations chapter 19, Jesus coming down is where you have the battle of Armageddon at the valley of Megiddo. And you will notice in the book of Zechariah, turn over to the book of Zechariah, please. And in Zechariah, we read in chapter 14 of the Lord coming forth in verse 3, the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem. And all these are tied up together in that great battle that we will call the Battle of Armageddon. The great battle of Armageddon. Now, it is at the Battle of Armageddon that the Lord Jesus defeats the Antichrist, and in Revelation 19, throws the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Suddenly, in chapter 20, verse, looking here at chapter 20, verse 4, you have 1,000 years of peace, which we don't fully understand. And at the end of the 1,000 years of peace, in verse 7 to verse 10, Satan is released for a while, and then he is defeated again. And the second battle that he defeats Satan in chapter 20, verse 7 to 10, is called the battle in verse 8 of Gog and Magog. Now, here is where many scholars have put the thing together. In the book of Revelations, the battle of Armageddon and the battle of Gog and Magog are two different battles. One takes place after the 1,000 years, one takes place before the 1,000 years. The battle of Armageddon is against the Antichrist. The battle of Gog and Magog is against Satan. Can you see the difference? It's totally different. That is where a lot of last day, end time, second coming books mix up the two battles. But we don't fully understand the extent of what Gog and Magog, because we don't even fully understand what a 1,000 years is. Some think that it doesn't exist, some believe that it exists, but I believe that it's a literal 1,000 years that you don't fully understand. Okay, God has a special purpose for that time. And but he defeats the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. And then he defeats Satan in chapter 20 at the battle of Gog and Magog. Then comes the great white throne judgment. And chapter 23, the new heaven and the new earth which we're all waiting for. And then, chapter 22, the ending which we are all waiting for tonight. And the glory